السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، My dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that only players can win the game. Think football, think cricket, basketball, baseball, anything you like. You have players and you have spectators. If you want to win the game, there's only one place to do that, which is on the field. You can be the supporters of this team or that team, supporters of Patriots, supporters of Arsenal, supporters of Deccan Chargers, supporters of God knows who, and you can yell yourself hoarse. You can buy all the memorabilia of the team. You can wear their t-shirts and their caps and whatnot. But none of that will affect the outcome of the game. No one will score one run more or one goal more because you were screaming. Makes absolutely no difference to the game. The second point I want to say to you is that, like all goal, like all games, every game has the same rule, which is that there is a scorekeeping. And the scorekeeping is according to the rules. If you are playing a game, anybody who plays any game knows that this is the ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth is that you can only win the game according to the rules of that game. This is such an ultimate truth that it might sound even stupid to say that. But if I asked you, can you win cricket according to the rules of football? Obviously you can't. No one will even try. You can't win football according to the rules of basketball, right? In football, in basketball you can't kick the ball. In football, you can't touch the ball. Two completely opposite rules. So you can win. There is a scorekeeping, and you win the game by the rules of that particular game. And the final point is, who makes the rules? The rule makers or the players? In my childhood, cricket, there was only one form of cricket, and that was the test match. So at the end of 5 days, you got some idea of who was winning, who was losing. Today, cricket is 2020. It is one day internationals. Same players, different rules. Who changed the rules? The players or the rule makers? The reason I'm saying all this to you is because, not because I'm talking cricket or football or something. I don't know the first thing about any of these to talk about that to you anyway. I'm saying this to you because all of us are in a game. Every single one of us. We are in a game. And the funny thing about this game is that this game has only players. Has no spectators. Only players and no spectators, and all of us are in that game. Now what is that game? That game is called life. That game is called life. The same things which I said about the other games apply also to this game. There is a scoreboard and there are rules. You want to win this game, you have to play this game according to the rules of this game. And who makes the rules? Not the players. No player of any game makes the rules. The rules of all the games are made by the rule maker. So you want to win the game, you have to play by the rules which were made by the rule maker. And the name of that formula is Islam. So Islam says, we don't make the rules, we don't break the rules. And Islam, therefore, is to play the game of life according to the rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, the rule maker, defined the rules. He told us what these rules are. Like all games, the players must know the rules. You don't have a game in which the rules are unknown to the players. You don't have a game in which the rules change midway in the game. Whatever the rules are, those rules remain till the end of the game. And then if there is a new game, then you might change the rules, but you don't change the rules in the middle of the game. So as far as Islam is concerned, Islam is there until when? Until our game ends, which is our life. And what are the rules of the game? Is that guesswork? Is it left for us to determine by ourselves? As I told you already, we can't make the rules. So I mean, are we left to guess the rules? No. Like any game, the rules are clear from the moment you enter the game. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the rules clear. And He told us what the rules are. And what did He say? He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة ورزق كريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined five rules. Three of them internal, invisible to the rest of the world. Visible to us, but invisible to the rest of the world. And two of those rules are external, and they are visible also to the world. We need to understand, my brothers and sisters, as I mentioned before, winners follow rules. If you break the rule, you get disqualified, you get fined, you get banned from the game. Nobody gives a medal to the one who breaks the rule. Winners follow rules. And who are the winners? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them. He called them the mu'minun. Those who don't break the rules. Those who play by the rules. The mu'minun. Who are they? First criterion. Wajilat qulubuhum. They are those who, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned to them, something happens to them inside. Something happens to their hearts. The name of Allah, the orders of Allah, the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something to them inside. Their hearts shiver with the awe and majesty and grace and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Something happens to their hearts when they listen to the recitation of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, or they see His ayat and His signs in the universe around them. It creates an effect, and that effect is that it increases their iman. The recitation of the Quran, my brothers and sisters, is not merely a tune, no matter how beautiful and melodious. Many times people forward clips of good reciters and they say, see how beautifully this person has recited the Quran. And what are you listening to? You're listening to the tune. I seriously ask you, and I ask myself this question, in our view, what is the difference between the recitation of Saud al-Shuraim and Abdul Rahman al-Sudais and Maher al-Meghli and Salman al-Ghamdi and Salman al-Utaybi? What is the difference? Except the tune. So we may as well be talking about some playback singers. Because the words of what they have recited makes no difference to us. We are only listening to the tune. And the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a raga. It's not the difference between rag darbari and rag asawari. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tune in the voice of the qari is the understanding of the Quran. That is what it should be. And obviously it cannot be if the qari doesn't understand what he is reciting. That doesn't apply to the people whose names I mentioned, because all of these are Arab and they all understand what they are saying. But I'm talking about many of our qura. I recall an incident, one of our qura from Hyderabad, very beautiful qirat. And he told us something, it happened to him, he told us that as a joke, and he said that I was in Saudi Arabia and somebody asked me to lead Salah, so I led Salah and I recited the ayat of Surah Yusuf. And he said after we finished Salah, I turned around to sit for dhikr. And he said, I saw an Arab guy sitting there and he was holding back his laughter. He was obviously very amused and he was trying not to laugh. So he said, it got so much that it really bothered me. So I decided to go and ask him. So he said, I went to ask him. I said, my brother, why are you laughing? So he said, no, astaghfirullah, please, I'm not laughing at you. He said, no, but you are amused. What are you amused about? He said, you put Yusuf alayhi salam into the well and you never took him out. He said, you put Yusuf alayhi salam inside the well and you never took him out. Now, if a person who understands the Quran and is reciting, he will not stop at the place this person stopped. Because the mazmoon is not over. He will not stop in the middle of something. And Allah, I have seen reciters who not only stop in the middle of the ayah, they stop in the middle of the word, half the word. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what does this kalam of Allah, what must it do? The heart shivers with the grace and awe and glory and majesty of Allah, and the iman of the person increases. And what is the result of these two things? وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they have tawakkul on their Rabb. Understand the grammar of this. رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They have tawakkul on their Rabb. Natural consequence. I am talking about somebody that I am connected to, and I have just heard or read about his greatness and glory and majesty. So what does it do to my faith and my comfort level with that entity? It increases. I'm not connected to someone who's powerless. I'm not connected to someone who can't do anything. I'm connected to someone, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power except Allah's power. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And so they rely on and have faith in the glory and majesty and ability and control and khudrat of their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Three internal conditions, three rules. وَجِلَ قُلُوبُهُمْ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And then two which are external and visible. Allah said, and these are the people who establish the salah. Allah did not say they are people who pray. There are many, many problems with English translations. Yuqimun as-salah or aqimus salah is not translated as establishing the salah. They say their prayers, they make salah, they do salah, they pray namaz, they do namaz, or like my South African friends say, we make namaz finish. Let us make namaz finish. Nobody establishes salah. Allah did not tell you to make namaz finish. Allah told you to establish salah. Aqimus salah. So let us think and reflect on what do we need to do to establish salah in our lives. And then the last of the rules there, he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from what we have given them. Not only money. Money and time and energy and talent and influence and ability. They spend from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. The thing to understand here is that it belongs to Allah. It does not belong to you. Your money is not your money. It's like a banker sitting with bank accounts totaling to $1 billion. What does he actually have as spending money? His own money, which is in his wallet or which is in his own account. He can't say, I'm the manager of this bank, so all of this money is mine and I can do whatever I want. He can do whatever he wants, and then he can spend the rest of his life in prison. It's not his money. What did Allah say? Did Allah say they spend from what belongs to them? Please understand the Quran. I didn't invent it. Mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Allah said what we gave them. Did Allah say we gave them unconditional, take it, now it is yours, doesn't belong to Allah anymore. Did Allah say that? Allah said they spend from what we have given them in trust, and told them where to spend it. Now take this and view your own spending. Allah gave you wealth to do what? To spend it in dance parties and song parties. And you also invite other people there so that on the day of judgment you will have enough witnesses against you to say that this is what I did with the trust and the amana that Allah gave me. And then you will have some compliant alim who will say, Mere nazdik to musiqi haram nahi hai. Tumhare nazdik? Near me, with me, in my opinion, music is not haram. So we should leave the opinion of Muhammad Rasulullah. We should leave the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, and we should go by your opinion. So the one who spends the money to do this and the other people who participate in it, who go and sit there and who listen to all that and then who eat that food and whatnot and they go home, believe me, they are equal. They are equal. If somebody dragged you there in chains, then you are not responsible. You went on your own. Mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the bashara and Allah said, Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. These are the true believers. Who? Those whose hearts shiver with the awe and majesty and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when His name is mentioned. Those who, when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them or they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation, their iman increases. Those who have tawakkul on Allah, those who establish salah, meaning that they bring their entire lives in sujood before Allah, and those who spend from what Allah has given them, spend where? Where Allah permitted it to be spent, not where Allah prohibited that from being spent. Those who spend from what Allah gave them. These five conditions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of our lives in keeping with and in obedience to these five conditions. That is why we are sitting in Ramadan. Make tawbah. The past does not matter. If you make tawbah, your day begins from now. Whatever happened in the past, make tawbah and say, Allah, whatever I did because I did not know. I know now and I will not do in the future, and do not do in the future. These five, what did Allah say? What happens to them? Ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. Allah said, these are the true believers. And who is giving this certificate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Huwa alimun bi dhati sudur. Who knows what is in the hearts. He says, these are the true believers. Lahum darajatun inda rabbihim wa maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. Allah said, for them there are darajat and there are levels and grades of glory and grades of honor with Allah. And for them there is forgiveness, maghfirat. And for them there is rizqun kareem. There is beautiful rizq with dignity in this world, and there is jannatul firdausul ala bi ghairi hisab in the akhirah, inshallah. Question to ask yourselves and myself, and I ask myself this question, and I respectfully request you to ask yourself this question. Do you want to be in the list of those who will be called al-mu'minuna haqqa? Seriously, ask this question to yourself. It's not a dumb question. It's a serious question you must ask yourself. Because you cannot be in two contradictory lists simultaneously. Please understand this. You cannot be in two contradictory lists. You can be in two complementary lists simultaneously. You can be this and this, all of which are the same thing. But you cannot be in two opposite lists simultaneously. You cannot be in the list of mu'minun haqqa, and simultaneously you cannot be in the list of those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not possible. This is not possible. So you have to decide. If you find that you have been or have got into the list of people whose names will be collected on the day of judgment with those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then now is the opportunity to get out. Don't make excuses, because those excuses will not stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't even stand before any sensible person in this world. What do you think Allah is? Don't say, no, I belong here because of something. No, there's no because. You belong to a group which is disobedient to Allah, or you belong to a group which is obedient to Allah. These are two opposite things, mutually exclusive. You cannot be in both at the same time. So please understand this and make that choice. My brothers and sisters, Allah gave us the criterion of what happens to us when we listen to His kalam. So let us do a test for ourselves. I'm going to recite something for you, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my mistakes. Forget the tune. Listen to the words. And when the text of this khutbah goes out, we'll give you all the ayah references. For those of you who don't know, but all of these are ayat which we recite and read on a daily basis. So I'm sure all of you know the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of His kalam first before He said anything else. And having mentioned the effect of His kalam, He then introduced Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah said, if this kalam is sent on a mountain, the mountain will humble itself and will crumble to dust. من خشية الله, because of the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these examples we give to the people so that they may reflect and think. Ask yourself, I ask myself, what happens to my heart when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam is mentioned? The kalam sent onto the mountain does not mean put the book on a rock. It means that the mountain understood the glory and majesty of what it is reading or what it is listening to. That will manifest in terms of the effect on the mountain. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And then Allah introduced Himself. هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله سبحانه وتعالى then mentioned himself in our creation what he does الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وَبَدَا خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ Only a few are grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talked about the world around us which He gave us. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ المعثرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجناتنا الفافا And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His greatest ni'mah on us. Where He said, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَالنَّخْلُ ذَاتُ الْأَكْمَامِ وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالرَّيْحَانِ فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان Allah asked a question فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان What is the answer? What is the answer? And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that last moment, that last day and that last moment which will come on every single one of us. And before he mentioned this moment, he mentioned his, he took an oath by his own glory and majesty and by his creation. And he mentioned his greatest favor on us, which is his kalam. And then he mentioned these last moments of our lives, which shaitan has succeeded in enabling us to forget as if it will not happen to us. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us reminders on a daily basis, yet we choose to ignore and we choose to forget. So he said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين Allah challenged those who take his khudrat, who take his quwwat, who take the strength from him, who take the knowledge from him, who take the wealth from him, who take the health from him, and then who stand in opposition to him, who defy him, Jalla Jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you are really so strong, if you are so truthful, return that soul. When that soul is stuck in the throat and you are standing there and looking on, completely and totally helpless, all your knowledge and your science and your technology and your wealth and your health and your power and your influence has become zero. And in that state of helplessness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nahnu aqrabu ilayhi minkum. Nahnu aqrabu ilayhi minkum walakin la tubsirun. Allah says to the believer, we are close to you, though you don't see us. Allah comforted us. Allah said, don't worry. Don't worry. We are close to you. Aqrab, closest to you. But you don't see us. My brothers and sisters, question I ask myself and you is what happened to me and what happened to you when you heard these ayat of the Quran? Go into your heart. Did you feel any change? I'm not talking about liking the recitation or not liking the recitation. I'm talking about the change in the heart. Was there any change in the heart? What is the sign that there was a change in the heart? The sign of the change in the heart is the change in actions, is a change in the criteria of decision making, is a change in lifestyle, is a change in how we choose to do, what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. I had a teacher, and this teacher one day told me, elderly woman in Bangalore, and she told me a story about herself. And she said to me that she was about maybe 8 or 9 years old. And she was learning Hindustani classical singing. And she used to sing, she was from the Gwalior Gharana. So she said that when I was 8 or 9 years old, my ustad took me to meet Begum Akhtar, the great singer Begum Akhtar. Because she said, I used to sing the songs of Begum Akhtar. So my ustad said, you like Begum Akhtar's songs and you sing the songs of Begum Akhtar, I will take you to meet Begum Akhtar. So this little girl, put yourself in a position, this little girl, this is her dream, you know, this is her icon. You know. And she gets a chance to go and meet this person. So she said, my ustad took me and I sat there with Begum Akhtar. And Begum Akhtar said to me, the ustad said, ke Begum sahab, ye aapke gaane bada acha gaati hai. He said, she sings your songs very well. So she said, Begum Akhtar said to me, "Acha beta, kuch suna?" She said, "Sing something for me." Now this lady, when this lady told me the story, she must have been about 70 years old. She's talking about something, a memory which is about 60-year-old memory. She said, the earth opened for me. She said, I became cold. She said, I started shivering. I said, why? Huh? I said, why? Her words are in my mind, wallahi. Huh? She died long time ago. She said, Begum Akhtar ka gana Begum Akhtar ko suna hai. She said, Begum Akhtar ka kalam Begum Akhtar ko suna hai. She said, I must recite the kalam of Begum Akhtar to herself. What is our ihsas when we recite Quran? Seriously, the problem is in how we teach Quran and how we learn Quran. We teach Quran and we learn Quran as if there is no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was saying the other day, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands and probably millions of dollars given away every year in Quran competitions. Quran reading, recitation competitions, tajweed competitions, calligraphy, Quran writing competitions, hifz competitions. But how many dollars are given away in prizes in Quran practice competitions? In the amal competitions? Is there a competition for the amal on the Quran? There is a competition. And there will be a prize, and that is the bottom line of the khutbah. That prize and that competition is on the day of judgment. Allah will not compete. Allah will not ask you how the tune of your recitation was or whether your tajweed was right or not. It should be right. Allah will ask you, did you do what I told you to do? Did you do what I told you to do? Allah will not test you on whether you said mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon with a qaf or yunfiqoon with a kha. Allah will say, did you do it? Did you spend from what I gave you or not? That is the competition. But the way we teach Quran, how many times has this happened to you? Almost all of you have learned Quran to some extent with different maulvis. I went to a madrasa myself. How many times did it happen to you that you are sitting and doing, if you are doing hifz, you are doing your door of hifz, or if you are reading Nazara, you are reading the Quran, and the ustad stops you and says, you just read this ayah, what is happening to your heart? Did this ever happen to you? Did your ustad stop you and say, you just read this ayah, what is happening inside you? You just read innamal mu'minuna allatheena idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum. Your Rabb is saying the mu'min is the one whose heart shivers with the grace and glory and majesty of Allah. Is your heart shivering or not? Did the ustad ask this question? Did you and I ask this question to ourselves when we are reading the Quran? Allah is saying this, is something happening to me or not? Allah is saying it's supposed to happen. This is the problem. It's a problem with how we teach and learn. And therefore, we need to change this. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Salah. As I told you, Salah is not only the two rakat we come and pray in the masjid. Salah is the symbol of Islam. Salah is the physical manifestation of La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Physical manifestation of that is to worship Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. He is the one who brought this message. Physical manifestation of that is the way we do salah, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said aqimus salah. He did not tell us how to do that. He told his Nabi how to do it, and he told his Nabi to teach us. And so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sallu kamara aitumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. He did not say pray as Allah taught you how to pray. He said, pray as I am teaching you how to pray. Pray as I, as you are seeing me pray. So the salah is the physical manifestation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is why the Sahaba, all of them were muttafaq, they were all united on the opinion that a person who leaves salah has left Islam. Because a person who leaves salah, who does not pray, has denied La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Different a'imma of different madahib have prescribed different punishments for this. I am not going into that. Even if there is no punishment, leaving Islam is punishment in itself. And that is the biggest of the punishments. Because on the day of judgment, that is the decision, that is what will decide. وَمَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Muddathir. They will ask these people, why, how did you land in the hellfire? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What put you in the hellfire? And they will say, who? The people who do not pray, they will say, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ We were not among those who prayed. فَاَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will make a'tiraf of their own sin. They will admit to their sin. By themselves they will say, فَاَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُوْخَلْ لِيَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ Allah said, go to hell. Allah said, off to the people of the fire. What is the translation of that? فَسُوْخَلْ لِيَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ What is the translation? It's go to hell. In a literal sense. My brothers and sisters, the symbol of Islam is sujood. And inshallah, next Jummah we will look at this in greater detail. For now, I remind myself and you, let us think about these five rules of this game. And these five rules are the criteria on which our score sheet will be made. And see, where do I fit into this? And then inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do what is required. We are in the middle of Ramadan. This is the time which Allah prescribed for us to introspect, to reflect, and to bring about permanent changes in our lives. And in order to help us to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just level the playing field. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loaded it in our favor. Allah chained up the shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all kinds of distractions from us, so that we are left alone to make our own decisions. Let not Ramadan become a witness against us. Let us use Ramadan. Stop fooling yourself. Enough of fooling yourself. Let us face the reality, and that reality is that one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us try to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where Allah is pleased with us. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi said, this life is but an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to maximize the benefit of this Ramadan. I mentioned the quote of Imam Al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayh, who said this statement. He said that the racehorse puts in the final effort towards the end of the race. So he said, be at least as intelligent as the horse. If your Ramadan did not begin too well, doesn't matter, let it end well. So let us make sure that we put in our maximum effort now to make sure that our Ramadan ends well. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.